Hi, I'm Christy Hurt, the founder of The Collab. We are a collective of brand professionals sharing our career stories. Every week, we pair up two members and they interview each other, so you'll get to hear one episode this week and one next week. You can join us too. Sign up at jointhecollab.com and then tell your story.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Collab Career Conversations. My name is Thomas Mitchell, and I am interviewing Mr. Andrew Pieris, who is a dedicated and accomplished visual merchandising executive. He's held a lot of different roles, ranging from McQueen to Topshop, Prada, Marvel Studios, both internationally and domestically. And I'm interested to find out a little bit more about your background and your views on retail and visual merchandising today.
Thank you for the lovely introduction, Thomas.
So tell me a little bit about your background, you know, where you grew up, where you went to school, how you got into visual.
Certainly. Oh, gosh. I grew up in Sri Lanka in the tropics. So I was there until I was 14 years old. I went to high school in Sri Lanka, Colombo, Sri Lanka. Then afterwards, I moved to London to study abroad. I was grateful enough to get a scholarship to go to London. I was selected by an international group called City and Guilds to study, wait for it. So this is hot cuisine and hot hospitality management.
Oh, excellent.
Not fashion, yes. So I migrated to London and I did my schooling there for 4 years or so. But during that time, since I was a kid, I always really wanted to be creative. I always get good results when I was creative. And I wanted to be in the fashion world. That was my passion, basically. But unfortunately, my parents had a different path for me. But I really pivoted and I was like, okay, no, I want to be in fashion. So I really followed my gut and went for it. Thankfully, one day I was like 15 years old and I was outside at London Fashion Week and I met Miss Sarah Burton from Alexander McQueen. I did not know who she was and she really took a liking to what I was wearing, and which was I made. And she was like, I love what you're wearing and would you like to come intern with Alexander McQueen, which I knew who it was. So that's where everything started. I was like, oh my God, this is absolutely fantastic. I said yes, and I was there for 8 months. I was an embroidery couture design intern for 8 months before Lee Alexander McQueen died. So that was the absolute most highlight of my entire career, I would say. I worked with the fall 2009 collection, spring summer 2009, fall 2009, and Plato Atlantis as well, which I'm sure the entire world knows. Plato's Atlantis is such a memorable collection.
Yes, amazing collection.
Exactly. But unfortunately, I was there for 8 months or so. Then afterwards, I interned with Jonathan Saunders, which I was introduced again through the Alexander McQueen studio to go work for them as intern with them as a studio administrator. That's where I got introduced to the visual merchandising realm, actually. The studio manager at that time were doing some sort of a activation for Liberties, and they were struggling with looks, etc. And they were like, would you mind joining in the team and, like, you know, giving this a little bit of a spin? And I really enjoyed doing that because it was the first time that I was being introduced to all these softwares, Illustrator, Photoshop, and all of it. I knew what existed, but of course it was definitely more hands-on, the planogramming and all of it. And that was absolutely fantastic. And I just ran with it from that moment on. And I ended up becoming a huge collaborator during that entire project for Liberty, for Jonathan Saunders. Unfortunately, Jonathan Saunders has closed his label at the moment. He went out of business like 2016, I believe, 17. I'm not sure. He was fantastic, I have to say. Then afterwards, I again kept my interning going for a while, mostly because I was just very incredibly hungry for knowledge and just knowing all sorts of different avenues for craft, mostly because I really wanted to be a fashion designer. I did appreciate visual merchandising, but my main goal was to become a designer. But life had different plans for me, that's for sure.
And I think that hunger for knowledge and being able to pivot is something that all of us creatives kind of have in common, that we're able to kind of take different aspects of the creative process and bring it into what we do, regardless of where it comes from, and kind of use it in furtherance of our own creative ambitions and prospects.
Certainly, I completely agree with that. And that really, you know, having that hunger really gave me the opportunity to like really explore different avenues within the industry as well. Then again, I interned with John Rocha, who is Simon Rocha's father, who had his own couture business for a while. And then afterwards, I was stylist for Cook and Tzai, KTZ, in London for their fashion shows, which was absolutely fantastic, which gave me the more of the creative opportunity to expand my tailoring or to really dive into styling and making sure that, you know, because they have a very different vision. They are more Rick Owens, but more London, if you get my meaning.
Yes.
So then afterwards, during this time, I was working with Harvey Nicks as well and Topshop, Top Man as well. But just because I was a teen and I really needed to obviously make connections and be able to provide for myself. But then I had the opportunity to work with Prada as an actual visual merchandiser, which was in the corporate level, which was absolutely amazing. They gave me the opportunity to really, and they guided and cultivated me as much as possible because they saw the potential in me, which was, I absolutely appreciate them for that. So they gave me the opportunity to really dive into the visual merchandising realm and work with Mrs. Prada and work for their directors and all aspects of visual merchandising, for sure. So I was there for a couple of years. I was there for four years or so. Then I had the opportunity to move to Dubai to spearhead Marvel Studios at IMG Worlds of Adventure. It is named as the world's largest indoor theme park, I believe.
Wow.
So, yes. So it's a whole licensing agreement with Ilyas and Mustafa Galadari Corporation. And they wanted to bring in somebody fresh and somebody who would be able to take risks to really build and come up with this very original concept to be able to introduce Marvel Studios as a very fashion-oriented line of product to the Dubai public. So it was a theme park. Obviously, they had a very standard, you know, exit store strategy, which was 9 exit stores and 1 standalone luxury store. And during that time, they still, obviously, they wanted the apparel, the hardware, the soft, the hard lines, soft line, everything they wanted it to be approachable, not very gimmicky. They want it to look very fashion oriented as much as possible. So that's where me and my fantastic team who had around 12 nationalities, by the way, which was absolutely amazing.
That's pretty amazing. That's incredible.
Yes. And all these individuals are reporting to me, and I was so, it was just so joyous because it was such a creative lab that we got to work together to build this structure, to build the stores, the planogram, to design the apparel, to design exit strategies and all sorts. So there was a lot of components involved in this production.
And how did you use those skills to really make it more fashion-oriented as opposed to just being Marvel Studios and kind of known off of that name?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great question, by the way. I think it all came down to really doing a major amount of market research in regards to what, as Dubai, as the UAE, were looking for, going after, the consumers were going after. So we all gathered together and, you know, we obviously took the very specific ideological items of clothing and design that we are known for, like a hoodie or a trouser or a bag or something. And we started developing the prototypes of that. Everything came together with styling. Styling and the planogramming systems, the directives we came across with the merchandising, that gave us the outlook to really make it more fashion.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, when you read what the customer is telling you through what they're buying or what they're even interacting with, you take those cultural cues, you take the market share, you take the market, and you really kind of have to pay attention and take that data back to how it relates to your decision-making processes from there.
Certainly. And that is exactly why we came up with the idea for having a standalone luxury store, which we collaborated with Estée DuPont, who made, I believe, cigarette lighters and pens for Jackie Kennedy. And they had their own specific made-to-measure ordering system within the theme park in this store called Marvel Vault. And that took a lot of communication with Paris and with the brand itself to make sure that we can offer a very unique product to the consumer. And that, so because Dubai is a pinnacle of luxury, I'm sure everyone would agree. There is a ton of money, there is a ton of wealth, knowledge, and definitely conservative, sure, but the Dubai market really gravitates towards something very luxurious. So it was very important for me and my team to come up with a certain concept for us to, like, really, you know, be able to deliver that sort of a product too.
And very international as well, because you're not just dealing with the people there, you're dealing with people coming from all over the world. It's become such a destination of luxury and status, as you said, you know, that it's a very unique and different customer base than I think you see anywhere else.
Certainly, exactly it. And it's a matter of having, you know, liaisoning with the licensing departments here in the US, because it's a licensing group, making sure that we understand the US directives and, you know, all of that, and really us being able to achieve and deliver to them as the licensing partner that, okay, this still will be, you know, be approachable sort of commodity. So yeah, I was, gosh, I could go into so much more detail about this, because it was such a fascinating project. It was $1 billion US, and here was me doing all of these things, and I was incredibly young, and I still give them so much gratitude for giving me the opportunity to do so. And it was a success, which was I'm incredibly proud of, for sure. I was there for quite some time. I was there for 5 years and in a hard hat and scrubs for most of the time because it was a building zone. Then I moved to United States.
And that was actually going to be my next question. How did you come to the US after that?
It was a hard decision. I actually moved to the United States to work for Barney's as well in Chicago. But unfortunately, when I arrived, Barney's filed for Chapter 11. So this was 2008 in July, and 2008 in August, I believe, they applied for Chapter 11, so that was scrapped. And thankfully, my husband is from Chicago, so which was great. So that's another major reason that I obviously moved to the United States as well. But you know, that was a huge challenge, but that gave me the opportunity to, you know, explore different parts. And that came Neiman Marcus, and which was an absolute fantastic opportunity, which I worked with, again, a lot of styling. It was a lot of couture involved because they have their own fur department. And I know very anti-fur right now. They're anyhow. And they still have, they stock couture and they do cosmetics and all of that. I was the visual manager for a smaller team, which I really enjoyed because it was definitely hands-on. And I had the opportunity to work with Mr. Ken Downing. Oh, he's a vision. I mean, he is such a smart individual. Oh, wow. I learned a lot from that man. And, oh, wow, he really pushed us. Because it was a very small team and he really pushed us to be creative. He really wanted us to like really try different things and make sure that you deliver. So, which I absolutely enjoyed. So, yeah, and here we are now looking for my next new...
And that was going to be my next question. So where do you think your incredible background, your incredible depth of knowledge and experience across a lot of different retailers and different settings, where do you think you would like to end up? Where do you see yourself going?
Oh, wow. That's loaded. That's a very loaded question. I would like to see myself in a very much a creative director position, hopefully further down the line. I do not know. But that is my goal in life, for sure. To definitely be doing what I love, which is being analytical and being able to be creative in the visual realm, which I obviously excel at. So that is my goal for sure. Yeah, that's where I see myself.
And then I guess just to finish up, and it's the question that stumped me before, but what would you do differently if there was anything that you could?
Oh, wow. I would definitely try to go back to school. I believe I missed out on that. I would love to go back to design school and really expand on that probably. And that would probably catapult my skill set into a different level and make me do something completely different for sure. But I am proud of where I am at the moment. So there are definitely no regrets at all.
Excellent. I don't think we should look back at our lives with any regrets at all, because like I said, I think we're exactly where we need to be. And, you know, we've gotten where we are because we are very good at what we do.
Exactly it, because we are absolutely fantastic in what we do. Otherwise, we would have never got to where we are right now.
Exactly what I was going to say. Well, you know, I think that has been a great conversation, and I thank you for your insights and everything that you've shared with me. If there's anything else you'd like to add?
No, not at all. Thank you so very much, Thomas, for having me and the collab.
Thanks so much for being here for the Collab Career Stories podcast. Please follow us on social media at Join the Collab and sign up to become a member and share your story at jointhecollab.com.